I'm going to put the microphone on the phone now, so anything you say, everybody will be able to hear.
Okay, so I'll put my hand over the mic before I call.
Okay.
Now, why did she leave? She was at labor. She was at personnel. She was in AC. I remember one year as a labor personality. Whoever was supposed to see a bad weather or something was in AC. She got a call early in the morning asking her to show up in the city. She had a women's fresh. She's not the job for it.
Yes.
The rug is we were delegates together at the last convention, so I hung up with her boss. Nia spoke. I realized she worked with her. Nia had, not only did she work with her sister, but she also was a so she has a diverse technology. She is just, she's such a she doesn't give her
I'm going to go to the next one.
Let's go. John. Yeah. Tracy's got it all. Great.
25th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. My name is John Weingard. I live in Delaware Township in Hunterdon County. The other members introduce themselves.
Jack Schreiber, Morris County Free Holder.
Scott Waynett from Morristown.
Tracy Carluccio, Hunterdon County, public member.
Mimi Letts, Persephone.
Elizabeth Calabrese, Bergen County Freeholder.
Glenn Petrano, Sussex County Freeholder.
Janice Kovach, Town of Clinton, Hunterdon County.
Tim Dillian, I'm a public member.
We have a quorum. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and was publicized on the Highlands Council website. All who wish, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Minutes in the packet from the February 15th. Is there somebody on the phone?
Yes. Yes.
So that's Debbie
and
Tahisha.
Okay. And who's coughing?
Debbie. I'm sorry. I'll cover the mic.
Okay.
I'll move the minutes February 15th, Mr. Chairman.
Second?
I'll second that.
Do you have any comments or corrections to the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. My report is just two things. One is I'll send an email out to council members tomorrow, but we're going to add a council meeting for April 5th, Thursday, April 5th at 10 o'clock, which was, you've gotten some emails this week about the possibility of committee meetings that day, but we may start a committee meeting in the afternoon, but a council meeting in the morning. You'll notice that on the council's website and newspapers. The other is a progress report or lack of progress report on our 15th member. The Senate, State Senate, went into its budget recess period without having considered the nomination of Mr. Cotter to be the 15th member of the council. Was not considered in the Judiciary Committee or the full Senate. So the earliest that could possibly happen would be late May, I believe, is the next time the Senate is likely to be considering nominations. And the only other thing I'd mention, which others, people on staff may mention as we go along, is you've probably seen the newspaper articles that there has been $2 million allocated under the Federal Highlands Act.
And, states.
before Shane's show. New Jersey will get a quarter of that. And we'll talk about that more. So with that, I'll turn to the Executive Director's Report. Dante DePiro.
Thank you. A couple highlights to go over public participation. As you know, the Council now has completed hearings in all of our geographic areas in the Highlands, plus the meeting that we had in the State Capitol in Trenton. We've been getting and continue to get lots of comments on the Regional Master Plan. We now total approximately 700 comments in all that have been received. Staff has processed almost half of those now in terms of documenting what we have, categorizing them so that the process of working up responses can be expedited. While these are available for members directly, to give you a sense of some of the statistics on it, about 10% of the folks wanted additional time for comments. Another 10% were mentioning issues like compensation and equity, issues that we've heard about, and fully a third of them had specific comments to make about the land use capability map. None of this probably surprising to members, but I think it shows that the public has been very engaged. We do predict that we will get some more detailed comments coming at the conclusion of the comment period, but it's good, I think, that members of the public have been as engaged as they have been. We have equal interest on our website. Over the last year, we've had over 100,000 hits onto the website. Those are folks who are getting information on the council, on the legislation itself, also on the progress of the plan, and to download information specifically from the draft regional master plan released in November, and to get access to the technical reports and other information. So, I mean, that's a huge amount of hits, and again, reflecting not only the interest, I think, that the members of the public have and the engagement that's been there, but also the willingness on the part of the council to make sure that information gets out to the public. On legislation, John's mentioned the $2 million split amongst the states. Also, you'll see in the ED report that was passed out to you that Tom's going to be testifying on GSPT2, which is the effort to renew the Garden State Preservation Trust that's provided so much of the money for open space and farmland preservation over the past decade and is really in dire need of being renewed to accomplish important tasks, not the least of which is preserving important areas in the Highland and providing funding. Just municipal outreach, again, there's more detailed information in your packets, but in terms of the 88 towns around the Highlands that we've been trying to target, we've gotten almost two-thirds of the towns reached in terms of outreach efforts so far. That's 55 of the 88 towns. Also an important effort for the council to do, especially when, as you know, half of our region involves towns that are going to have to make a decision about whether they're going to opt into this regional master plan. The more towns that are able to opt in, the more we can make this a truly a regional plan, and it obviously encourages the efficacy of the entire effort. And finally, for highlights, just to call out to your attention, on budgeting, I know members of the council are aware of this already, but for members of the public, despite the somewhat difficult financial times that the state is in, the council has been able to avoid any funding cuts in terms of the recommendations that the administration is making at the start of the budget process. Our funding for last year was $3 million, and we have that same recommendation for funding for the upcoming year. Obviously important as the council moves from development of the plan to all the phases that will be necessitated by implementation of that and outreach to all of the towns. I'd also like to take this opportunity, Mr. Chairman, since it's my final meeting with the council, to say a couple of things. It has been my distinct privilege to have been able to work with the dedicated members of the council and the staff over these several years, and a privilege also to have been part of the Highlands Initiative. I think it's truly a legacy item for the state of New Jersey that this council is working on. We know from the history of New Jersey that if adequate attention is not paid to land use decisions and the way we chart our future, those decisions end up being made to you. That happens sometimes to towns, it happens to counties, And certainly it happens in an area that's as important and diverse and beautiful as the Highlands region. We know that there are many people around the state who are doing important things, but I think truly the work that this council is doing is historic in proportions. And at the core of that is because water really matters. Mark Twain, who's someone who was not a stranger to a saloon, once said that alcohol is for drinking, water is for fighting. And I think it accurately points to the importance of water and the challenges that can come as a result of the need to protect that water. You know, as members of the council, you know the facts as well as I do. 115 billion gallons of water consumed in the Highlands each year, supplying over half of the residents of New Jersey with their vital drinking water, and the water going to an area that's geographically dispersed throughout much of the Highlands of the state of New Jersey. We need that water. New Jersey depends on it for health of its citizens, for manufacturing, for fueling the economy, the economic engine of the state, and to no lesser extent to protect the values of the property for all the folks that live here. If we don't have that water, the property values aren't able to be maintained in the way that they ought to be. I think it's to me no surprise that protecting a resource as important as our vital drinking water presents significant challenges. I think the more significant the effort that you're making to protect the future, the more significant the challenges are going to be, because everyone's affected in some way. And we know from the members of the public and the local representatives who come here to all of our meetings that there are issues here that matter to them. And so the council, I think it's fair to say, faces its share of challenges. We all know what they are: resource protection, the implications of protecting those resources, funding for preservation, housing, jobs, fiscal impacts, character, quality of life. Those include some of the most fundamental and important issues for the people in New Jersey. Folks have asked me when they learned I was leaving how the Highlands Task Force was able to reach a consensus, given the fact that those issues are so diverse and given the diverse membership of the task force itself. And my simple answer really is by working together. I think whenever you have challenges as daunting as the ones that are before this body, when the issues are as important as they are to all the members of the public who are gathered here today, the only way really to chart a way through those issues and to try to address everybody's concern in some way is by having partnerships and open discussions of the issues with everyone. Everybody knows in the final analysis this council is going to decide what policies ought to be. That's the statutory duty of each of the members here. But that's going to have to address everybody's issues in some way. No one will be entirely satisfied, I would imagine, with the outcome, but that's par for the course when you're doing something as important as this. And I am very gratified that the council has now released to the county planners a description of how the map was created. We've been able to release the GIS data that supports what the council did in the draft plan. And I think those are the kinds of things which will enable the counties to get fully on board with this process and to make sure that this council can meet its goal of addressing all of the myriad statutory issues that you're required to do, because, as you know, not all of them are in any one direction. The legislature points out all of the issues that you need to address, but doesn't always chart the course of how you're going to get there. And I think the more involvement that you can have and participation, I think the more you can get the kind of gravitas that it'll take to bring it across the finish line, and I think the process is close. So let me say in conclusion that after almost 4 years now of intensive effort to try to make a difference here in the Highlands region, I'm very pleased with what's been accomplished. That's going from a time, I guess, slightly more than 4 years ago when there was no Highlands initiative at all. It took a number of very dedicated folks who were willing to lend their time to a task force and be part of that process to kick things off. And I think what the council's accomplished really has been tremendous in that time. And I'm personally very excited about the professional opportunities I have in front of me, but also want to thank the dedicated members of the council and the staff for the opportunity to have worked here, and I wish the council and the Highlands Initiative every future success. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Dr. On behalf of the council, as a small token of our appreciation.
Is it a map?
It's a copy of the council. It's a copy of the council bylaws.
I thought you were going to hit it.
So the meeting's adjourned.
I like the wrapping. Let me say, it looks like a portion of a nap.
No purple in there.
There is.
They're on the sides. So does they put it's that on the back?
It's on the fringes.
Well, I neglected to ask for a council member's report on events. Are there anything, activities council members want to report on?
I'd just like to comment on the reference to the Garden State Preservation Trust, too. We had a public hearing, and Tom was present. Kim Kaiser was with us. Kurt Alstead, who's not here today, was also present. And I didn't expect to speak, but Tom invited me to speak, pushed me up front and said, we're only going to be a few minutes. I got there about 6:45. We spoke at about 9 o'clock. And there was an interesting reference made by the chairman when there was so much conversation about the Highlands in the restoration requests for Garden State Preservation Trust. I don't know if you remember this. And the chairman suggested that one of the reasons they go in different regions of the state for these hearings is that they hear different issues arise depending on where you are. And clearly in this region, he's hearing a lot about the Highlands. But he kind of obliquely suggested that it's not all about the Highlands, folks. The Garden State Preservation Trust will allocate funds, if it's renewed, as they deem appropriate in the legislature. So I thought that was an interesting comment to remember, and I did, and I passed it along to us. So the work is not done.
And they're meeting again in Princeton next Wednesday, is it? I think. Mm-hmm. So they'll hear about the Highlands there as well. So, comments from members? We have reports from a number of committees. The room was packed earlier this afternoon for the audit committee's meeting.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm surprised you weren't all there for the voting committee, but we did have our first meeting today. And before I continue with the report, I'd like to extend our gratitude to Beth Gates from the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. She brought her financial expertise to this committee meeting, and it was invaluable to us as we go forward. We affirmed the need for a single audit. We reviewed and voted on criteria for an audit selection. It's outlined in the executive order number 122, and we elected to use those criteria and not add any additional criteria. We felt that those were quite sufficient to meet all of our needs. Now we submit this criteria to the Audit Evaluation Committee, composed of Tracy, Debbie, and Scott. Good luck to you. We will ask them to initiate the audit selection process, which will take some time, I'm sure, and then they will get back to us, and further updates will be forthcoming. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions? Personnel Committee met earlier today to discuss aspects of the search for new executive director. TDR Committee.
I'll be brief. We've met a couple of times in the last couple months. Once as a group with an ad hoc committee that was formed by Jeff Ujava reached out to a number of people representing a lot of the interests for the TDR. And second off, just the committee met on the first, I believe it was. And our discussions that day was the scoping for a possible contract with a real estate resource company to help us in our study of how we can finalize our credit allotments. That's kind of ongoing. We decided not to take action on awarding of that contract. Jeff and Steve are continuing to work on that with Tom, and we're doing work on that. And then, of course, today we're going to talk about the grant program, the receiving zone feasibility grant that I think is important, and hopefully we can take action on that today. And I know the minutes of the March 1st meeting are in draft, and Jeff and I spoke about them, and they'll be going out in your next package, hopefully.
Great. The Plan Development Committee, Plan Development and Local Conformance Committee also met, and most of our discussion concerned the next two items on the agenda, the TDR feasibility grant program and the possible extension of public comments. We also discussed the Holland Township petition to the State Planning Commission for state plan endorsement, and after the meeting I sent the letter that's in our packets today to the Office of State Planning, again asking that they not take action on municipality and county plans in the Highlands area until we have a plan adopted. The Office of State Planning, Smart Growth, I'm sorry, sent a letter to Holland Township subsequently, which is also in our packets, which seems to incorporate, while not doing exactly what we asked them to do, seems to incorporate a process, or provide a process for incorporating any concerns or conflicts that come up in the between the Holland Township plan and the state plan over time. Was related to the agenda, but we discussed the meetings that the Highlands County Council staff and the county planners have been having to get to more of a common ground on the map information that is available and has been made available and should be made available, and it seems that there's a large amount of progress that's been made there, and we got a shortened version of the presentation that Roger gave to the county planners on the maps, which was very helpful and useful. And I'm not sure if we're going to do that at today's meeting, but it would be useful for all of us to see at some point. There were comments from about 10 members of the public afterwards. So that was that committee. Any questions? The next item on the agenda, that is the TDR feasibility grants program.
So
John?
Budget and Finance, Debbie. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a chair report in your meeting packet that's a report from the Budget and Finance Committee meeting that was held on March the 19th. The two key matters were that the TDR Committee and the Plan Development Committee referred to the Budget Committee a review of the TDR Feasibility Grant Program relative to available funds. And the Budget Committee determined that there are adequate funds available for this $1 million program. It's recommended that it be funded out of the Incentive Planning Aid Fund, which currently stands at roughly $8 million. And there is a resolution regarding this that John was just referring to. So it will be an action item today. The second item of business that we reviewed was the draft financial statement that would be included in the 2006 annual report, which the council is required to issue under the chairman's signature. It's basically a balance sheet, and we authorized the figures that were contained in that report, and I don't recall if that's in your packet or not, John, if they've seen that.
Yes, it is.
It is, yes.
Okay. So you can refer to that, see what those figures are, and that is all.
Questions?
Before we get to the next item, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment on an editorial that ran in one of the Recorder newspapers regarding the nomination of a gentleman from Chester Township to sit on the Highlands Council. There is an error in the editorial. I spoke to the editor about it, and he has suggested that he may or may not run a correction. So for the record here, in the editorial, he notes that the act says the seat, this is a former member of Ben Spinelli's seat, must be occupied by an elected official from a municipality in the preservation area of the Highlands. As we all who are familiar with the act know, that there was no requirement for the preservation area to be given consideration in that. Mr. Spinelli is elected official of a municipality in Morris County and a member of a particular political party, I think those were the requirements that he filled, and I think that the replacement should fill those, and the nominee does fill those, just for the record. But there are no recommendation, no consideration given to the preservation.
The TDR feasibility grants program.
Contained within your packages a three piece of information with respect to this subject. One is a resolution to initiate a $1 million TDR receiving area feasibility grant program. This was previously discussed by council some months ago, referred to committee for definition of the program, which we have done. We're asking staff that's requesting council approval of that resolution. The resolution would put into place a request for proposals for the identification and evaluation of potential TDR receiving areas, not only within all of the Highlands municipalities, but all municipalities within seven Highlands counties, a total of 218 municipalities. The goal of the program is twofold. One is to solicit input of those municipalities that may have an interest in developing a TDR receiving program within their municipalities and facilitate identification of sites that are appropriate for that purpose. And secondly is to provide support, particularly support to those municipalities that have already expressed interest in developing a TDR receiving areas in the interest of advancing the TDR program, the success of that program. Additionally, there's a letter introducing the grant program to all municipalities that will be distributed upon the council's approval of the attached resolution. If you have any questions, Jeff Jolajava is available.
Do we have a motion to introduce the resolution? Okay.
Second.
Now, do we have any questions? I think this is an exciting opportunity to try to get to really get some hard information about TDR and specifics of where this might work and where there is interest, and to get that interest explored and to get into more specifics. So I think it's a really important initiative, and it will also help to see the response from municipalities will help us get a sense of where there really is interest. Any comments, questions? Okay. Well, are there any public comments on this? Yes.
Ross Kushner, representing the Pequannock River Coalition. My only concern is that we adhere to the letter of the law contained in the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. And absolutely. Is this on? My only concern is that we adhere to the letter of the law, the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. And when I read the law, it specifically states that TDR receiving areas being the planning area or portions of the counties, Highlands counties outside of the Highlands area. In no way, shape, or form should we be designating TDR receiving areas in the preservation area. And I'm concerned that this doesn't explicitly state that and that this money will be used by preservation area communities to erroneously create TDR receiving areas in the preservation area. So I hope the council will address that, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our intention, there were a number of specific questions that came up at the plan development meeting. We discussed this, and our intention is to solicit applications from the municipalities, and the council will have to approve each grant before it can be awarded. So there'll be discussions between the council staff, potentially council members, and the municipality about the specifics of what they're asking for and what the county can do.
David Shope, Long Valley. I don't know when you've had two meetings of the TDR subcommittee and have essentially gotten nowhere, how you can have a resolution dealing $1 million out to communities to buy into a plan which only at best half can exist now. Seems to me the Highlands Council is functioning as nothing more than an ATM to distribute money from one bureaucratic entity to another. I think you, before you deal out $1 million looking for friends, you should develop a TDR program in toto. Therefore, I'm against this resolution.
Thank you. Other comments? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the council, thank you. I'd like to say that TDR is one of the most important pieces. Oh, Eric Snyder, sorry, Sussex. TDR is one of the most important pieces of this whole program. It's one of the ways that we can address the equity issue, which I have been concerned about for a long, long time. And so I strongly urge this council to do whatever it can as quickly as it can to get that program up and running. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments from members of the council?
Mr. Chair, just one comment, kind of reflecting both Mr. Shove's comment away and Mr. Cushing's, and that is when staff develops the guidance that goes out with the grant program to solicit participation, it ought to be clear that the proposals that come back, you know, need to adhere to the Act. So to the extent that you need to provide guidance there, because I don't think we want to encourage folks that will not be able to qualify for the grant to put the time and effort into preparing that. We hear a lot about the burden of that kind of paperwork, so I don't think we should make sure we don't set people down blind alley, so to speak, that they won't be able to qualify.
Mr. Chair, I'd make specific references in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th, whereas to the specific sections of the Highlands Act where that requirement is included.
I think the intention is that the letter of solicitation we've got now would be for small, relatively small grants of $25,000 range to start the process, and then if that seemed productive, that to there'd be a larger grants available. But your point's well taken. Comments? All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The next resolution concerns is to extend the public comment period on the draft regional management plan. The comment period now closes April 2nd. The Plan Development Committee again discussed this at some length on Monday. There has been a request from most but not all of the county planners who have been involved in the discussions with the council staff and some council members over the last months to have an extension of time, particularly so there's more opportunity to review some of the map data and submit comments on that. The Plan Development Committee recommends that the deadline be extended to May 11th.
I'll move that resolution.
Second. I'll second it.
Is there a discussion among council members? Okay. Yes,
I'd like to speak against the resolution. I think the discussion that was that occurred at the Plan Development Committee and the letter that resulted to Holland Township points up very well why we need to reach closure and close the public comment period now. The world is marching on, and we're not, and we're falling behind. And I think even though we have asked the state plan, Planning Commission not to accept, not to issue endorsements for a state plan endorsement for municipalities in the Highlands region that are not, until our master plan is complete, that is not happening. And those endorsements are moving forward, and bad projects are moving forward. And most recently, the Holland Township request for plan endorsement to the state. And it's clear that there are the regional master plan provides tremendous amount of information, data, specifically mentioned in your letter, Mr. Chairman, is the natural resource inventory and the data associated with our land use capability map. And this data is not considered in Holland Township's request for plan endorsement. And I think that these will continue to move forward. And 1 month may not sound like much, but 1 month will likely produce a lot more public comment. I don't think, it, on the flip side, that it will be substantive. I think that most folks have gotten together knowing that their comments, knowing that April 2nd is the deadline, and that we will just be floating forward for another month. These bad projects, these inconsistent plans will be moving forward and endorsed by the state, and it's getting away from us. We need to reach closure on this, in my opinion, and we need to end the public comment period now. We have been out there for months with technical reports and the policies of this plan and the elements of the map that folks needed in order to put together substantive comments. And we're not providing any more information over these 30 days. Everything is out there now. And I think we should call an end to the process.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak on behalf of the extension. This extension was originally requested by the county planners, who have fortunately now had a couple of meetings with our staff. And their request is that now that they finally have some of the data and are getting an explanation of how we have interpreted this data to come up with the plan, they ask that they have some time to utilize this data to pull it down, do their overlays themselves, to analyze it, and to be able to report back to us on whether or not they agree with some of the assumptions made in the plan. We also had testimony from some of, I think it was kind of split, the environmental groups at the meeting who spoke in favor of the extension, some voted against it. But I think that these county planners are bodies of people that have a wealth of understanding and knowledge of land use issues, and I think their opinions can be extraordinary and valuable to us in assuring that this plan, once we release it, is as correct as we can possibly make it. It'll never be perfect. It'll take a long time. It's going to be an iterative process. But I think that their input is going to be invaluable. And I think that I understand what you're saying, Tracy, but this plan is going to be in place for a long, long while. It's going to affect an awful lot that takes place in the Highlands region. I think it's important that we get it right.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would like to echo Mimi Lex's comments as well. I think the planners bring a wealth of knowledge. I think they've been very consistent in asking for some data, some scientific data, some overlays for quite some time now. For a period of time, for one reason or another, we couldn't get it out there and we couldn't provide it to them. But you know, on the other hand, I'm grateful that you know we've got beyond that, and they have received the material. They've been spending a lot of time reviewing it with our staff, and you know, as was said, they're professionals. They understand the scientific basis that's needed to make this a very effective plan. And I also concur with Janice that we want to bring closure, but I don't think we can bring closure until we've completely vetted out the opportunity for these professionals, these county planners, to give the adequate comments that are due to us, and especially as a result of them representing a lot of people throughout the seven counties.
Mr. Chair, yeah. I'm glad you're agreeing with me before I speak.
No. That's a plus. I feel much better now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but once we close the comment period, the data that's out there, if there are errors or omissions in the map that are then validated, the map would be updated to reflect the current and correct data. Am I right? So I guess one of my concerns is we have multiple stakeholders with this. The county planners absolutely are a very large part of it, but there are landowners, there are environmental groups. I think we need to close the comment period. If there are issues that are identified, they're brought to the council, to the staff, the mapping changes are validated, need to be changed, those will be updated. That doesn't stop just because the comment period closes. I think that we need to, and I don't know who actually said this, but time to put the pencils down and be able to move forward. I agree with Tracy that we need to be able to stay on track and get something out there and work with the State Planning Commission, the Office of Smart Growth. And the longer we delay, the more behind we get.
The person who said that put pencils down was Debbie Pascarelli, so it's a good time to ask whether Debbie
Thank you for that reference.
Yes, that's it. Debbie or Tahisha, do you have comments?
You want to go first, Debbie? You go first, Tahisha. Okay. Thank you. I wanted to say that I agree with the final, and I think that that's a good word for this, the final extension in this resolution. I think that I understand that there needs to be the conclusiveness with this. However, I really have to say that the county planners play an integral role with regards to the Highlands Act, and I think that we need to be aware of that. So I really don't feel as though a month is going to be a severe delay, because we want to get this legislation, we want to get this plan as close to perfect, if not perfect, as possible. And with the role of the county planners who are learned in their municipalities and in the county, I think that their input, in addition to more public input, is necessary, because I still hear of the misunderstandings that are going on. And so I think that this time is warranted.
Debbie?
I will speak against the resolution, and I was one of the two that voted against it at the Plan Development Committee. And you know, the interesting thing about this issue is I think we all want to arrive at the same end point. We want a good plan, and we want to be responsive and allow input to it to make it a good plan. But I think there's some misunderstanding as to what the purpose of this public comment period is to serve. It was never intended to serve as a way to correct any errors in the map. When we laid out our plan for development of the regional master plan, we acknowledged things that would occur in the comment period, post-comment period, prior to final adoption, and then in the period, I guess we call pre-conformance, which is post-final adoption. Correct me, Steve, if descriptions are wrong, but we never intended for this part of the process. This was carefully thought out for us to do overlays and look at every discrepancy between what's as-built existing condition and what's it showing in the map. And don't misunderstand me, those are critically important. But now is not the time to be doing that. I think the 5.5-week delay we're talking about, which will translate into a delay in final adoption, I don't think is warranted, because 5.5 weeks isn't going to be enough time to get through all of those corrections. That's one of the reasons why we discussed doing it a later period of time. So I think we have nothing to gain by the delay, and everything to lose, something to lose. I think what the people in favor of the resolution want to see have done can be done, and can be done well, with the public comment period closing on April the 2nd as we planned. And I urge the council to act in that manner.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I may?
Yeah.
I think that a good working relationship with counties is vitally important to us and to the plan. If they need more information, I think their expertise would be invaluable to us. I know it's, I understand Tracy's point of view, but it is a short amount of time. And I think that we're developing this better relationship with counties and an open line of communication. And I think by closing them out at this point, might hurt the process in the end. So I'm in favor of the resolution.
I also speak against the resolution. And I voted against it in the committee for a lot of the reasons that Tracy and Debbie articulated. We hear a lot from the public, from the non-governmental side of the public, about the need for closure, the need for predictability, the need to understand how this plan is going to affect them. And we can't get to that answer, regardless of where you come out on the policies of it, until we close the comment period. The map maps always draw all the attention. And obviously, as people have noted, the council has designed processes to allow for adjustments to that map on an ongoing basis. We're not going to stop that. And I don't think the county planners are advocating that we stop that process, even at the end of the extended comment period, should that come to pass. We will always update it based on existing land uses, on-the-ground information. But we've had close to 160 days to look at the policies. We've had several months, starting in January, to look at technical information which supports those policies. We haven't heard a lot of feedback as to we don't understand that part of it. It's been very much focused on a map which we've already granted and acknowledged there are opportunities to move forward and to make adjustments where it's possible. So the other parts that will suffer are our ability to finalize the policies, which are really at the heart of the maps themselves. The maps are expressions of policies. And all the scientific information that resulted in these maps is in the technical reports and has been available for a long time. I have just had my doubts that we will get to the end of this process and that everybody will agree that this is the final extension. We can. Somebody said that planners will always ask for more information. And there comes a point at which I think we have to weigh the damage to the process of finalizing the plan, moving forward in its implementation, and the cutting off of any opportunities for interactions with the counties. They will clearly always have a seat, and I think the staff is to be commended, the council is to be commended for bending over backwards to accommodate them and to make time to meet with them in a way that they haven't been in other constituency group that I'm aware of. So I think this is an unneeded extension, and we ought to move forward and get the process rolling.
I agree with Tim. You know, this is intended to be a living document, and there will be, moving forward, there will be opportunities to review the maps and go back in. And I participated in Monday's committee meeting, and I agree with Tracy that really our largest concern right now, and it certainly is what weighted heaviest on my mind, was what a delay would do to our schedule. I mean, I think that is really paramount right now, that we're always looking at the end date because we know what's happened in the past. But I have to say, my knowledge of working with county planners is I have, they were patient knowing what information was coming down the pike, and that is really what weighted heaviest on my mind on Monday before I made up my decision. It was the need to really have them understand the information that we're presenting to them. And that is why, knowing that they really weren't asking something unreasonable, and they haven't been kicking up much, they haven't been screaming, they just asked for 30 more days, that's why I'm in favor of it at this point.
I might as well, everyone else in there, right? Not that there's much left to say, but I'm for the resolution to extend the comment period. My understanding is the comment period is an opportunity for people to make comments that become part of the record. It doesn't stop the staff from continuing their work and moving forward on this. So I don't really foresee any delays in our progress because we allowed the record to be extended for comments another 5 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is. And I see no harm in that. And I also believe that the county planners would like to have that opportunity to make comments that become part of the public record, and they feel that's important. I think that's important that we give that due consideration. And the meetings that have gone on have been productive, and I think this is a step of a show of goodwill towards them. And I think that since it doesn't really, I don't see any harm in doing it. I don't really see a delay in our progress. I don't see any reason for not doing it. So I'm going to be voting for the resolution.
Chairman, unlike the last time I made a motion to extend the public comment period, I'm not going to tinker with this resolution's language at all or suggest that. I think, but it is important to remember that the underlying data that created the maps from which the policies were developed has been slow in being released. And it's that underlying data that the counties particularly, as well as many municipalities now, have been seeking. That data is very complex and very difficult for even a professional planner to absorb easily. I think what the planners of the counties are asking for is an opportunity to understand what the weighting values were that went into creating these maps, and why certain zones were created, and why other criteria were not applied elsewhere, for example. And they want to do that so that we can come up with a better plan. I'm not saying that our plan is bad, but I am saying it is flawed. And it's flawed because there are differences and discrepancies in the data that apparently are obvious to many municipalities and some people on the county level as well. I think the better input that we have, and 5 weeks is not a long time to ask for that, the better final plan we will have. And I expect that there will be changes to the final plan based on all of the input that we have received. Over 700 comments, you said, Dante?
Yes.
At this point. Sifting through that, there are going to be, and you probably already have seen, a lot of substantive comments that make a great deal of sense and will reflect themselves in changes to the final draft plan, final plan, when we vote on it. I think that's very important. If the county planners have this opportunity, the likelihood is greater that they will become advocates for us because of their greater understanding. And those advocacies are going to be very important to getting the plan accepted by the municipalities represented at the county level. So I think we would be stiff-arming an important ally in this process if we did not allow this additional extension, which we have all agreed will be the final extension. So I just want to make those notes and suggest that I'm sure that the staff is working on a parallel path now, taking the comments that have already been submitted and making adjustments to the plan after they verify the validity of those comments. I would recommend that they continue to move forward at that level too, and so we can get this done. So I am obviously supporting this proposal, this resolution.
Since we've all spoken, I am also going to support the resolution, largely for the reasons Eric said. If I don't think there's any, if you weigh the damage, it's helpful to some people to have a few more weeks to submit comments, and I, as Jack has said, I don't think there's any harm. It won't have any substantive significant delay in our process. That's my feeling about it. I would imagine people in the public want to speak. Let me say two things first. One is, every member of the council has now said they've made up their mind. And number two, let me try this. If you would like this, if you would like to speak in favor of this resolution, raise your hand. If you'd like to speak against this resolution, raise your hand. Okay. Now, if you really need to speak, come up to the microphone.
Okay, great.
Mr. Chairman and council members, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Representing county planners, I am grateful that we've been having the opportunity to meet with staff on a regular basis, and that process will continue biweekly for several more weeks, several more months. The purpose of that process is not so much to correct maps, but for us to have a better understanding as to why the planning zones came out the way they are. And I think the point was made, and that's what we, I think, unanimously have been asking the staff, is that we need to understand. For Morris County, I have 19 municipalities that are in the planning area.
Hey, Ray, just for the record, maybe there's people on the phone. Just give your name.
Oh, sorry. Ray Zabihash, Planning Director for Morris County. And it's those municipalities that are going to be asking us, as staff in Morris County, what does it mean? And what this affords us is the opportunity to talk with staff and get to the real substance of the process behind the map. And we're really not tinkering with map lines yet. We know that, as a planning process, will continue for years as better information comes. But we need to know the substance. And we have tried, and we all express, it's embarrassing at times that I, as a professional planner, have to say, I don't understand. But that's the point we're at. We really don't understand. You have, as a council and as a staff, compiled a phenomenal amount of information. You have digested it. You have reproduced it. All we are asking for is a little bit more time for us to better understand it. And we want to definitely work with you. Staff has done a stellar job in working with us, releasing a phenomenal amount of information. At times, we're overwhelmed. But I feel that if we, with the technical staff, the resources, are having a difficult time understanding the nuances of what's in the plan, I can't perceive that the public itself has a better perspective. And I think any time we spend to get greater clarity will only provide the public with a greater idea of what's happening. So I thank you for the opportunity. I hope you do vote in favor of it. It really will help us have a better handle on the whole situation. Thank you.
Let me just be clear, because all the comments have been in terms of county planning. So if this resolution passes, it's opening the comment period for everybody. For anyone who wants to make comments on any aspect of the plan. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just in line with that last comment, if the county planners get a better comprehension of what's involved, they'll be able to work on our behalf for the municipalities in those particular counties. I think that's an important motion to remember.
And I would agree with that.
Let's
hear
from the public.
My name is Ross Kushner. I'm representing Pequannock River Coalition, and I'm a segment of the environmental community. We struggle with the same problems the counties have faced. We're particularly concerned with the planned community zones. There are four criteria for those zones: water and wastewater infrastructure, impervious cover, transit hubs, and density, population density. To date, one layer of that has been released to the public. That's wastewater. We found it extremely flawed. It was pulled the next day, so I'm back to zero. I mean, it's all well and good, and with all due respect to the county governments, you've released more than 50 layers to the county governments. I don't have a single one of them. So I think this is public information. You need to get it to the public, not just the counties. So I urge you to pass this resolution and give us some more time, and it would be nice if we had some more data, too. Thank you.
I have a question on that, Mr. Chairman. Is that true? We're giving data to the counties that we're not giving to the public?
Yes. Now that we've been able to release it to the counties, we posted the description of how the map was created on the website, and then the GIS layers are going to follow.
But will the public, all members of the public, get every bit of information that the counties have?
Well, I'll send it back to John.
Yes.
Okay.
All the information.
And soon?
All the information that's being released is currently available to the public in the technical reports. The issue is in format of presentation of data. We are creating the GIS files, and we have been for the last 6 weeks, and we are incrementally releasing them as they are prepared and available. I believe, Roger, the status of release is there are now 70-some-odd data layers posted on the website?
Yeah, there's 74 layers that are posted currently on the website. 51 of those are raster files.
Tracy's question went to the layers, not the technical reports. And so we pulled together the three pieces of understanding. When Ross Kushner came to the last committee meeting, we had just released those raster files, a number of them, to the counties. And the reason I was sending it back to John was I talked to John about it, and we agreed now that we've been able to release those to the counties for the purpose of those ongoing meetings, we're now going to make them available to the public. And I guess Roger's saying now we've done that. So now Ross Kushner and the other members of the public can see exactly what we've released since March 12th to all the counties.
And that's all available on the website then?
Yes.
Correct.
As of today.
Correct.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak on this resolution? Yes.
I'm Robert Fry. I'm a member of the Warren County Planning Board, and I'd like to speak on behalf of our planner, Dave Deck. I'm sure he would welcome an extension and more opportunity to study the plan. And if Debbie doesn't agree with me, I'm here and she's not.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Debbie.
I have to respond while I refrain from responding to comments to tell my colleague and friend, Mr. Fry, that I had a lengthy discussion with Dave Deck about this last week, and that's why I'm voting the way that I am, because I did discuss the meaningfulness of the extension with him, and he will take the available time to provide expanded comments, but they were prepared for April 2nd.
We're going to vote, and I guess I'll do it as a roll call, because that's what we're going to do. Liz Calabres.
Yes.
Tracy Carluccio.
No.
Tim Dillingham.
No.
Janice Kovach.
No.
Amy Lex.
Yes.
Debbie Pascarelli?
No.
Eric Peterson?
Yes.
Jack Schreier?
Yes.
Glenn Vetrano?
Yes.
Tahisha Way?
Yes.
Scott Whitenack?
Yes.
So with my vote, it's 8-4, so the resolution passes. We still would welcome your comments before April 2nd if you'd like to submit them, but you have until May 11th. The resolution passes.
Mr. Chair, can we, just as a matter of policy, can we just be clear, though, that when we release information that's been deemed appropriate or ready for public review, which I would think would be agencies of government outside, that it all go out at one time, that the general public, so to speak, get that information, unless there's a very specific technical reason why it shouldn't happen that way.
Well, my understanding of what was happening here was the counties were county planning officials, were asking for an explanation of the data that had been released, and in the discussions that led to more data being released.
Yes,
so it was sequential, that it came up, the information got discussed with the county planners in those meetings, and then because it was of interest to them, it seemed clear it would be of interest to other people with the police. I don't know if that gets at what you're saying or not.
Well, that sounds to me like that sets us up a step process where if you're asked for something specific that council hasn't made a specific decision to release, that it might get to you first. So I think there ought to be an even playing field. Public comments, public comment. Agencies outside the council, as well as the folks that are not, you know, employees of elected government. So.
That completes the agenda, except for public comments. Are there other items council members want to bring up before we? There comments from the public?
Mr. Chairman, members of the council, I'm Julia Summers from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. As Mr. Schreier mentioned, there was a public hearing of the Environment Committee of the Assembly, the State Assembly, at 300 Menden Road two days ago.
Seems like yesterday.
There's been meetings all along. Two people spoke against renewal of the Garden State Preservation Trust, and the other 30-some spoke in favor of this. But I have to tell you, it is no sure thing that the Garden State Preservation Trust's renewal will be put up for referendum this year. I recognize that you have been represented by Mr. Schreier, Mr. Alstead, and Tom Borden in front of the committee. But it would be extremely helpful if you would consider passing a resolution that can be added to those of the 64 towns, municipalities, the three counties, including Morris and Sussex and Monmouth, and the couple of environmental commissions.
We think we passed the resolution to this effect some time ago.
Well, it has not been shared with any of the Keep It Green coalition. So,
who passed the resolution regarding the trust sometime ago? It wasn't specific to this particular piece of legislation.
Right, and this there is a draft resolution here that I could share that is specific to this piece of resolution, this piece of legislation, and is specific to the amount of money that's being sought and what it's being sought for. So, if you would consider that, it would be helpful.
I think at the time we considered it, what we voted on, we specifically did not want to get involved in specific pieces of legislation, but rather wanted to express our strong support for the need for funding. So we could consider that another time.
Well, we are now at a point where specific legislation has been introduced for this purpose, and it is seeking support. You are correct. There is one more public hearing on this. It's the 28th, at which there will be a vote. Of that committee.
And I'm planning to testify at that.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. a question on that then. Can you submit a copy of our resolution in your comments?
Yes. Thank you. Other comments?
David Shope, Long Valley. Going back to Mr. DiPero's opening statement about its it's all about water. It's really not all about water. It's all about money. Water is collected up here in the Highlands by various water supply authorities and sold at cost to primarily for-profit water companies, golf courses, etc. It's about money. If you're a water company, your profit is assured by virtue of your review, your rate review with the Board of Public Utilities. As a farmer, nobody assures my profit. And what has happened really is the issue of really monetizing water has been clouded by what I call the EnviroPros, those people who do the environment for a living. There's a couple up here. There's a whole bunch more back in the audience. They have monetized the environmental movement into regular paychecks. What has happened is we've had a banquet here in New Jersey, of which the landowners in the Highlands and, unfortunately, 25 years ago, the Pinelands, have been handed the bill to pay. Do not confuse water with money. The recognition of the value of pure water was noted as part of the Highlands Task Force. They estimated that the savings in water purification would be $50 billion over the next X number of years. They recognized it. You should recognize it. It's about money, not about water. Water is a commodity. New Jersey holds title to it until it is sold to a private water company or a golf course, etc. And don't let those who have turned the environment into their routine paychecks cloud your view of this. Thank you.
I guess I'm suddenly fated to become a spokesperson for the preservation area. Chairman Mankart and members of the Highlands Council, allow me in the 3 minutes that I think I get to expand on the comments I made at the February 22nd Passaic County hearing. My foremost concerns pertain to the overlay zoning that was sprung on us with the publication of the land use capability map and the seeming overriding of the provisions of the Highlands Act with respect to the preservation area. The Highlands Act expresses first and foremost the interest of the state of New Jersey to safeguard the water supply for a healthy and vibrant economy. For that same reason, New Jersey already contributed years ago to the purchase of Sterling Forest, because a high percentage of all water, at least in that region, comes from New York State. And it is operative now. It's showing up in the enactment of in the Highlands Act of the creation of the preservation area, with stringent land use controls that are supposed to safeguard that water supply. Now, sitting through so many of the council meetings and hearings, I undoubtedly naively surmised that the blind-to-the-line conversations pertain to the mapping and protection of natural resources with which the Act encourages. The purple areas on the land use capability map occasioned a rude awakening, and I'm referring to all purple areas, not only or primarily the lakes. That's a whole separate issue. The preservation area provisions are absolutely clear in limiting development to the redevelopment of brownfield sites designated by the DEP or sites at which at least 70% of the area is covered with impervious surface. The purple areas in the preservation area, called specially planned areas, a subcategory of the planned community zone, violate preservation area requirements. they don't even meet the criteria set for them in the RMP at page 50, which outline the criteria that apply to the three zones. Literally, one look at the Ringwood map, that's panel B9 of the LUCM Atlas, revealed lack of water, sewers, or both in no proximity to transit. In other words, an absence of any basis for the mapping. Worst of all, the purple covers the principal water supply well of the borough of Ringwood, even though a map of Highlands wells is included in the RMP on page 74. No need here to get into the complex issues of GIS data layers. This is a case of no application of data to a zoning determination. There has never been any question, at least on my part, of the difficulties that lay ahead in procuring valid utility and utility capacity data. And I will continue to be the last person to blame anybody for the absence of this data in the short run. I think it follows, however, that there is absolutely no justification to designate development zones as long as the requisite capacity data is not available. I also take issue with the fact that completely different criteria were used to define and justify the three overlay zones. The result of this process is that natural resource values and water supply considerations were ignored in all but the protection zone. This is a travesty considering the intent behind the creation of the preservation area and the Highlands Act itself. Finally, zoning overlays in the preservation area are unacceptable. Conformance and all regulations are mandatory in the preservation area. Now, the planning process and any kind of plan takes a long, long time to show its real consequences. It will be not tomorrow, but probably some years from now until the consequences of this misstep become very, very crystal clear. The explanation that it's all voluntary, which we have received on numerous occasions, may apply to the planning area. You don't have to do any of this. It does not apply to the preservation area, both in courts of law and in the conformance process. It is mandatory that we comply. When attempts are made, I'm trying to get to something else. When attempts are made, all right, we have a very, this knowledge that I just expressed really comes from a long, long history that we have had in Ringwood and surrounding communities of protecting our natural resource environment. And I'll cite for you. When attempts were made some years ago to lower our planning area status for parts of the town, we fought back and remained PA5. When both our planning board and council voted to sewer our lake areas, we fought back. The protests began with the passage of the first bond ordinance in December 1969 and culminated in a referendum in November 1994 when 3,487 versus 1,000 residents chose to pay off a $9 million sewer debt in preference to constructing sewers. That's of course, why there are no sewers in the purple blotches in Ringwood. We also have a quarry in town and had to fight the state legislature in the course of the writing of the Highlands Act to protect one of the treasures of the Highlands, Saddle Mountain. So far, we have succeeded. I believe you should respect that we know what we are talking about and have the tenacity to hold on to what we treasure. Thank you. I have copies for everybody.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. My wife Lois and I live and own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. Our land is in the preservation area, and some of it is in the conservation zone of the regional master plan. Regarding the regional master plan and the Irresponsible Highlands Act that came before it, I have some ideas. One idea is that if the line delineating the preservation area cannot be removed, then it should be expanded to include the lands of all the people involved in creating it. This idea, however, is a bad one because some good people could be trapped by it. And it is also very likely that many people who are employed by the DEP and come over the bridge every day from Pennsylvania would not be affected. The better and good idea would be to remove from office all those complicit in this assault on our rights that so many brave people have fought and died for over the years. The problem with the good idea is that it will be very difficult to accomplish, but it must be done. We all need to pitch in and root out corruption. Right now, in New Jersey, we have government of the people, for the government, by the government. This is very dangerous. We must change that back to government of the people, for the people, by the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Yes.
I'll make this short. My name's Scott Olson from Byram Township. Every time you see me here, I'm not making money. I'm a volunteer. I do everything I do because I live in the preservation area, and I have a high regard for what it takes to keep that area preserved, for the water that I drink from below my home. And on that note, I want to thank Mr. DePiro for the work he's done over the last few years to help ensure that that goes forward. And I speak, I think, on behalf of a lot of people who live in the preservation area in the Highlands in general. Thank you.
Hi, Susan Buck Oxford. I was quiet last night. I was going to be quiet today, but then Julie brought up a really good point, so I have to bring up the counterpoint. I was probably one of the two people at the hearing on the Garden State Preservation Trust the other night that I could be interpreted as being against it, although that's not quite the case. I would oppose the Highlands Council and take any action one way or the other on this for a couple of different reasons. Garden State Preservation Trust is a wonderful thing. It's one of those examples that we're probably all envious of that initiated cooperation between all levels of government and private entities that I haven't really seen paralleled. It's very, very successful. The problem becomes that, first of all, it's not the answer for compensation for people in the Highlands. We need to come up with a comprehensive package of things to get behind to provide that kind of compensation. I don't qualify, the fellow in the industrial park who are in Mount Olive doesn't qualify. There's a lot of people that don't qualify for the programs that this program has to offer. It's not there to compensate people in the Highlands. It's trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's a good program. I think it should be renewed in many ways, but it's not the answer here, and I don't think this organization should support it. In addition to that, there are some issues with it that need to be fixed. There's, stewardship is one of them. You know, nonprofits are allowed to get grant money for stewardship, but not people that live there, not private. It's bizarre. It's retiring billions of dollars of assets in the economy, and this is a place where I think the Highlands Council can play a role. These are basically TDRs, and the ownership of those development rights is being buried, taken out of the economy forever, never be to be returned. Without those assets circulating in the economy in the state of New Jersey, it's a problem. And the bigger it gets, the more of a problem it's going to be in the economy of New Jersey. And I think the council can take a role in attacking that issue, and I know I'm trying to, too, and get them to realize that this could be a TDR pilot project. There's lots of things they can do with those development rights. Those development rights can be sold, can be recirculated into the system, and not taken out of the economy forever. And The worst part of the whole Garden State Preservation Trust is that as long as everybody doesn't put the Highlands Act back in front of the legislature to get the things fixed that need to be fixed, the truth is that the state of New Jersey doesn't have to pay a dime for any of the land that it wants. It just signs a bill into law and takes it for free. Thanks.
Probably trying the council's patience at this point, but Ross Kushner, Pequannock River Coalition. I just want to speak to the issue of impervious cover. And as you know, the Highlands Act specifies that redevelopment areas in the preservation area should have 70% impervious cover. The RMP kind of skirts that issue. What you do is you map out areas with greater than 30% or greater than 50%. And when I spoke with the council staff, they said, well, these are intensively developed areas that may have points in them where there's greater than 70% impervious cover. I don't think that's real helpful. I know where the intensively developed areas are in the Highlands. You just drive around and look out your window. I don't think that's real helpful to the town. I think you should have bitten the bullet and done the greater than 70% impervious layer. I mean, that's what the Act requires. That's what you should have done. That's what you should have mapped. And I also think one of your policy committees needs to grapple with the issue of what is impervious cover. And I'll give you an extreme example. I could take Route 23, a state highway, that's maybe 5 miles long and 200 feet wide. Well, that's about 120 acres of impervious cover. I could then take 30 acres of forest or 40 acres of forest, attach it to that, and meet the requirement for 70% impervious cover. Is that what the Act intended? I don't think so. So I think you need to give some policy backbone to what is and what is not a 70% impervious cover layer. I mean, what is it? You know, is it 100 acres where 30 acres of it is pristine forest? You're really not providing the planners and the municipal officials enough material to know what is and isn't qualifying as 70% impervious cover. So I think you need to spell that out, and I think you need to get that data layer out there. Thank you very much.
And from another angle, I'm Marion Harris, chairman of the Morris County Trust for Historic Preservation. Our small group of cultural resource aficionados will be filing comments before April 2nd, as we had hoped to do, that everyone would do. And one of the things that we're going to say is that in order to protect cultural resources, you have to know what kinds of resources are specific to the Highlands. You probably can't tell enough from the small inventory that you've been given of things that have been recognized or otherwise discussed by the state, but it has occurred to me that it would be possible to double that amount of data if we, and I am offering the resources of my organization, got in touch with the historic preservation commissions that are in the area of interest, because every historic preservation commission has to prepare an inventory of its own resources, and that isn't just the things that are eligible for nomination on the registers. That is whatever is important to them at the local level, which is a much broader source of information than the ones that have already been screened. So what this would take is a series of phone calls. I don't know whether it's 88 or 318. Those are both numbers I've heard today, but it's possible to do that and say to them, have you gotten inventory? Will you make that available to the Highlands Council? And we can make those phone calls for you. We can work with the staff to do that if you think that would be a good idea. We think it would be a good idea because it would give you a better base to operate from. I don't know whether it's appropriate for us to make that offer, but we certainly would be happy to do that.
Well, once again, I think we want to thank Dante and wish you all the best in what you do.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.